Good morning, folks. Okay. It does seem strange, this, don't it? All everybody spaced out and wearing masks. It's weird. But, okay. The thing that God's had me thinking and praying about for the last couple of weeks is one word. It's an adjective. And it's an adjective that describes something about God's character. And because of that, it's worth looking at. Understanding more of God's character is a great thing. Adjectives. Words that describe something. They can be important or they can be meaningless. Think of things like, oh, that's a nice hairstyle. That might be meaningless. In fact, the word nice is probably the one that's most likely to be meaningless, you know. If we can't think of a better adjective than nice, But adjectives can be important. Think of poetry, right? Think of something like Wordsworth, host of golden daffodils. That word golden, it matters in there. It helps us build up a picture. Or think of Robbie Burns, Tam O'Shanter, and druthy neighbours meet. By using that adjective druthy, we're left in no doubt about how those neighbours felt. And druthy means thirsty, for those of you who don't know Scots. And it's probably a particular type of thirst. But let's not go there. When it comes to adjectives, there are some adjectives that we use to describe God's character. And they require careful and prayerful thought. The first three that sprang to my mind when thinking about this were worthy, holy, and jealous. And it's that last one, jealous, that I want to talk about today. It's a word that doesn't sit too comfortably with us, or at least with me, because we tend to see it in terms of human emotional jealousy. And that's not quite the true picture of our God. There are dangers in viewing God in any words that talk about human emotion, because our emotions are a pale and often a distorted reflection of God's emotions. But there are things that the Bible can tell us about God's character in emotional terms. Let's quickly have a glance at a few passages that talk about jealousy, and God's jealousy in particular. So, let's start at the Ten Commandments. Always a good place to start. Exodus 20, verse 5. You are not to bow down to them in worship or serve them, because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the iniquity of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing gracious love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. So the first thing is, let's see how God's jealousy and his gracious love are tied together. And the next thing is to note that in the next verse, he ties it into the name of the Lord. Exodus 20, verse 7, you are not to misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave the one who misuses his name unpunished. So, God's jealousy is all about respecting God's name, respecting God's character. In other words, it's about treating God special. because he is special. We've got to treat God in a special way. God gets jealous if we don't treat him in a special way, the way that he deserves. A bit later in Exodus, when God reviews his covenant with, when he renews his covenant with his people, Exodus 34:13. Rather, you're to tear down their altars, you're to smash their sacred pillars, you're to cut down their sacred poles. Indeed, you're not to bow down in worship to any other god, because the Lord's name is jealous. He's a jealous God. Otherwise, you may make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land when they prostitute themselves with their gods and offer sacrifices to their gods. Someone may invite you, and then you may eat some of their sacrifices. Once again, God's jealousy is all about God's people taking him seriously, recognizing his special place, his uniqueness. But later, Deuteronomy 4:23, be careful, otherwise you will forget the covenant of the Lord your God, who established that covenant with you. Don't make carved images of any likeness in violation of everything that you were commanded by the Lord your God. Indeed, the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. I love that consuming fire line. To me, it speaks about burning up dross, removing impurities. And boy, how we all need that. Move on to Joshua. Joshua 24:19. So Joshua told the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, because he is a God of holiness. He is a jealous God, and he will forgive neither your transgressions nor your sins. If you abandon the Lord and serve foreign deities, then he will turn and do you harm, consuming you after all the good he has done you. No, the people replied to Joshua, we will serve the Lord. Let's move on to Nahum. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. A jealous God, the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges. The Lord is an angry husband. The Lord takes vengeance on his enemies, reserving anger for his adversaries. The Lord is slow to anger and powerful, and he will never let the guilty go unpunished. The Lord's path is in the windstorm and hurricane. Thunder clouds are dust beneath his feet. Now, let's look at a bigger passage. Let's look at Psalms. And there's one bit in Psalms that does a little review of Jewish history, right? Psalm 78, it's a long psalm, but it gives a lovely view on what God sees as important in all those many years and encounters between God and his people. Psalm 78 is often entitled, Tell the Coming Generation. And the Passion Translation does a really nice job in conveying the feeling of it. So I'd recommend that we all read Psalm 78, but it's kind of long and we need to keep things short this morning. So I'd suggest read it at home. I'll give a quick summary and pick out a few verses. Actually, on brevity, just as a complete aside, I heard a lovely quote that Prince Philip gave once, right? And it seems that he once said to some church minister or something, when talking about the length of sermons, he said, the mind can't take in what the backside can't endure. I like that. Right. So, as I say, read Psalm 78 at home, but here's a quick review of it. It reviews quite a bit of Israel's history, and it takes an example of the sons of Ephraim. They were set for battle, but they ran away. They didn't believe or trust in God. They forgot his works and his miracles. They even forgot the parting of the Red Sea during the Exodus. They forgot the cloud which led God's people. They forgot the manna from heaven. They forgot water flowing from a rock. They continued to rebel against God. They forgot about the plagues, the rescue from Egypt. There's a few verses that say things like, "For they turned away from faith and walked away in fear. They failed to trust in his power to help them when he was near. Yet in spite of all this, they kept right on sinning. Even when they saw God's marvels, they refused to believe God could care for them." How many times they rebelled in their desert days. How they grieved him with their grumblings. Continually they turned back from him and provoked the Holy One of Israel. Yet for all this, they still rebelled and refused to follow his ways, provoking to anger the God Most High. So in that quick overview of a big sweep of Israel's history, what it concentrates on is how God was jealous because his people kept turning away from him to worship other gods, to complain about him, to follow other desires. In particular, let's look at Psalm 78, verse 57. "Like traitors turning back, they forsook him. They were even worse than their fathers, but they became treacherous deceivers, crooked and corrupt, and worshipped false gods in the high places, bringing low the name of God with every idol they erected. No wonder he was filled with jealousy and furious with anger." God's jealous nature is very different to human jealousy. His jealousy is righteous, it is just, it has reason, and it has the betterment of his people at its core. His jealousy is based on his love for his people. He knows what's best for them, and that is to love and follow him. So when they reject him, he's jealous for a perfect reason. Okay, that was all Old Testament stuff. Might seem a bit doom and gloom, right? Let's look at New Testament. In the New Testament, Paul talks about God's jealousy in terms of a father who sees his daughter getting corrupted. He compares what's happening in the church, where people are watering down the story of Jesus, mixing up the true gospel with other things. Our response to God's jealousy needs to be to stay as close to God and his truth as we possibly can. Beware of things that can subtly take us away from God. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 11, verse 1. I knew there was something wrong when I said that. Right, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. "I wish you would tolerate a little of my foolishness." Yes, please tolerate me. "I am jealous of you with God's own jealousy, because I promised you in marriage to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to the Messiah. However, I'm afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve by its tricks, so your minds may somehow be lured away from sincere and pure devotion to the Messiah. For if someone comes along and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or should you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you are too willing to listen. What a lovely phrase Paul uses in there about sincere and pure devotion to the Messiah. Sincere and pure devotion to the Messiah. What does that mean for you and for me today, tomorrow, this week? How does that sincere and pure devotion work itself out in practice? God's characteristic of jealousy is the thing that we need to be aware of to prevent our minds being lured away from that devotion to the Messiah. I picture that luring away as a guy walking down the street with his girlfriend, and his eyes latch on to a girl across the street who's wearing something skimpy, right? His girlfriend notices and is jealous, and is rightly jealous. Now, it's a very simple illustration, and of course it only tells a little bit of the story. But it gets across that idea of how you can be lured away. And that luring away is a very subtle thing. This guy that I'm imagining wasn't intending to look at that other girl. It just happened. And appreciating beauty in another is not a bad thing. But the effect of his eyes being lured away was very negative to the relationship. So, equally, some of the things that take our attention off of Jesus are not bad things. We don't set out to find a replacement for Jesus. But we can be distracted by things that take us away from that sincere and pure devotion to the Messiah. It might be good things that take our focus away. It might be commendable works. It might be big-name causes or famous preachers or the latest trend in Christian thinking. But if it's getting in the way of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, then the effect is to arouse God's righteous jealousy, his justifiable anger. God is a jealous God and wants his people to be pure and holy as he is. Anything that takes our eyes off of his beautiful face runs the risk of rousing his jealousy. As I've said, human feelings don't always reflect God's feelings. And human jealousy is often a bad thing, resulting in evil acts. But there's something at the root of jealousy which is good, pure. It's about justice. It's about giving attention to the person who rightly deserves the attention. Think of pop star, Justin Bieber, or maybe I'm showing my age, but how about Tom Jones, right? Back in the 70s. Imagine Tom Jones up on stage with all these women throwing their tokens of affection at him. How did Tom Jones' wife feel? Was there jealousy there? Was it because she didn't like him pouring his attention out into that adoring audience? Was it because she felt that she deserved his focus rather than all these other women. Okay, once again, that's not a perfect comparison. It's not a perfect allegory. Analogy, that's the word I was looking for. But there are times when we give the attention that God rightly deserves to other things. And we can provoke God's jealousy. So this holy jealousy that's part of God's character, it's a positive thing. That's why we've got to be careful about comparing it to human jealousy. Because human jealousy can lead to bad things. The end result of God's jealousy is to bring his people into good things. Further into that deep, that wonderful relationship with him in all his glory and his holiness. I even wonder if there's something about God's jealousy in another New Testament story. If we think of the Gospels, there's a story about Jesus when he's preparing for the cross. He asks his disciples to stay awake and pray. And he comes back to find them asleep. Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. He told the disciples, "Sit down here while I go over there and pray." Taking Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, he began to be grieved and troubled. Then he told them, "I'm so deeply grieved that I feel I'm about to die. Wait here and stay awake with me." Going on a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." When he went back to the disciples, he found them asleep. He told Peter, So you men couldn't stay awake with me for 1 hour? All of you must stay awake and pray that you won't be tempted. The spirit is indeed willing, but the body is weak. That's a passage that deserves some prayerful reading. I feel there's some deeper meaning than just Jesus getting a bit annoyed with his followers. And just maybe God's holy jealousy is playing a part in it. When we find sleep so appealing that we nod off, even when Jesus has specifically asked us to stay awake, it suggests that our priorities are straying away from God's priorities. That's when God's jealousy gets triggered. So, what are we doing that makes God jealous? Or are we not doing something that we should be doing and that makes God jealous? It's all about taking God seriously. And any time we don't take him seriously, we damage that most precious of relationships. When we give something else our priority, we disappoint God. We're not living to our full potential. Okay, last page here. What does this mean in practice? I can't answer that for you. It'll be different for each one of us. And it might be different at different times of your life. God's jealousy means we should always put his priorities first. And that means each of us hearing from him for ourselves and doing what he wants. Or not doing what he doesn't want. God's plan for your life is unique. But it's not always on a big scale of plan for your life. God's plan for your day is unique. Today, every day. So each day, let's find out from him what he wants of us today. Then let's try to put all our effort into that plan. If it's helping your neighbour with some shopping, or if it's phoning an old friend, or if it's planning some new evangelical campaign, that will vary from person to person, from day to day. But let's beware that we're not rousing God's jealousy by letting other things get in the way of God's priorities. For most of us, the things that do get in the way will be good things, not evil things. But if they're not God's priority, we can make God jealous. And we're talking about God being jealous with a pure, a holy, a righteous jealousy. That's when we fail to live up to what is best for us, which is God's desire. Day by day, let God direct your steps, your thoughts. Ask him in what way we make him jealous. And whenever we find ourselves straying from his priorities, let's repent, let's come back to him with humble hearts. Let's ask him to reignite our love for him in a more vibrant way. In the same way as two lovers want to spend time together, sharing their experiences together, we and our Heavenly Father can walk so closely that there's no tiny cause for jealousy. And may that be our godly experience, day by day. So, to wrap up, let's look out for those other things that can get in the way of us purely focusing on God. Those things that can block us from giving our love and attention to the Lord Almighty. Final verse to wrap up with. On a similar theme, let's remember this verse. Isaiah 42:8. I, the Lord, am the one, and I won't give my name and glory to another, nor my praise to idols. Let's just quickly pray to finish. Lord God, our heavenly God, who loves us and who is jealous for our benefit. Lord God, help us day by day, minute by minute, to be aware that we can take our eyes off you. We can look the other way. We can be lured aside. So, Father, keep us aware of that. And we just ask you to help us keep our focus on you, our priorities lined up with your priorities, that we may just know your heart and live in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen.